they will have the ability to do anything that humans can do on the internet. And that's what's starting to happen with agents. You know, anything a human can do on the internet is soon going to be available for an agent to do. And I don't think we're ready for the implications of that. We're all talking about the generative phase still, but in the next few years, I think we'll all talk more about the action phase and the implications of that.
Edward Saatchi is the CEO of the Emmy award-winning Fable Studio, who most recently went massively viral for creating an AI showrunner, which could generate entire original episodes of South Park. Their story goes way back before this, but Edward is undoubtedly one of the smartest people working in this space. We talk about their vision to create a new form of intelligent life, the role of multi-agents as opposed to single agents like ChatGPT, and what is coming next that most people aren't paying attention to yet. This episode is genuinely full of gold, so thank you, Edward, for coming on the show, and I know you're going to enjoy this one. All right, Edward, really excited for this one. Thank you very much for coming on. And before we kind of dive into loads of stuff you're doing, you're one of the most exciting places to follow, I think, at the minute, in terms of what you are working on in the AI sphere. But give us your kind of mission, what you're trying to achieve here with Fable and specifically with the simulation.
Yeah. Well, our mission back 5 years ago has been to create a truly intelligent person, a virtual being of equal intelligence to humans. And that started with a character called Lucy that came out of a Neil Gaiman experience that we created in 2018, but has now blossomed to building an entire simulation of AIs as the path to AGI, so that they're all training each other, so that players are training them, they're getting smarter over time, up to and including something like Westworld or Free Guy or Truman Show in terms of a meeting of synthetic reality and true AI.
Yeah, it's wild stuff and definitely really, really exciting. Tell us a little bit about the story of the simulation as well, because there's a CEO there, Julian B. Adler. There's a kind of story that goes with what's developing. So maybe you could just give us a bit of that.
Julian is the CEO of the simulation. And, you know, he'll be saying more for himself in the coming months. But he's got a whole team that's working on building virtual beings and trying to create AI intelligence and sort of similar to Dr. Robert Ford in Westworld, harnessing the player training of people visiting the simulation. And I think for Julian, you know, part of the motivation is not so much creating a theme park, but, you know, trying to sort of heal the sickness of the world and create a new world, settle a new environment, which, since we aren't going to get to Mars anytime soon, is settling the simulation.
Good stuff. Interesting. Okay. And obviously the AI showrunner with the South Park episodes you created went really viral and was, sort of blew a lot of people away. Could you talk us through multi-agent simulation? So correct me if I'm wrong, but for most people at the moment, we have kind of single agent simulations, ChatGPT being an example, being great at language. Talk us through that process, what happened and kind of what you guys discovered or worked on to create the AI South Park simulation.
Yeah, so we spun out of Oculus and Meta in 2018 to pursue virtual beings. And 2018 to 2020, our focus was on single agent chatbots. So like many people today, we were also very captivated by the idea of replicating the movie Her, right, where you're talking to this AI. And after doing it for a while, we thought, well, this actually isn't very good. It's kind of boring to talk to a chatbot that has no life, that does nothing, that disappears when you stop talking to it. Wouldn't it be better if this AI really had a life and wasn't just available for you, but had stuff to do and had a family? And had a job and had a community? Wouldn't that make them more able to empathize and more real? So we shifted in 2020 to building the simulation. And now in the last sort of 6 months, people have been getting more excited about it. But I think we've felt that multi-agent simulations, as opposed to single-agent chatbots, are the next important area. So, you know, you could imagine the difference between, in the Southpaw case, you know, going onto Character AI and having a one-on-one conversation with Cartman versus, okay, there's a 24/7 simulation of South Park that just exists where they're going about their daily lives. And in a week of time for their life, you'll get an episode of what sort of what's been going on. So that's what the showrunner does, is it creates TV episodes of what happens each week within the life of the simulation. Time for the AIs moves a little faster than it moves for us. So 1 second is 1 minute. So for them, 3 hours of you kind of interacting with the simulation would be roughly a week of their life. But you would get, you know, as well as being able to interact with the simulation in a God mode, you can also get the episode of what's been going on for them, which I think is much richer and more interesting than just texting back and forth with sort of, you know, one character.
Yeah, absolutely. And in sort of layman's terms, how is the AI showrunner kind of pulling that all together? I assume they're acting as a showrunner, so instructing the language chatbot to write the script, and then other AIs to do other parts of the production. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And you know, there's three levels of agency. One is the simulation does it itself based on topicality and what the AIs have been doing that week. The next level is you writing a prompt to get a scene or a series of scenes in an episode. The third is you writing a prompt to get a scene or a series of scenes or an episode. And because once you've got the episode, you also get the script, you can edit it and say, okay, instead, you get the video and you get the script. You can edit the script and be like, okay, now regenerate the episode. So I think that last one is probably where a lot of the best episodes are going to come. And, you know, people can put themselves in episodes, people can, you know, interact with those characters and yeah, keep going.
Yeah, that's very cool. And you talk about, or I've seen on Twitter, at least, that single agent chatbots, you know, it's now quite easy to create your own and train your own chatbot on a certain set of parameters that maybe it's the YouTube videos that you've made or whatever. That is becoming quite widely accessible to people. When we get to a point where multi-agent chatbots and what you've created with South Park becomes much more available, I assume you believe we're going to see, you know, lots of new IP and content that are prompted by people, but have this idea of an infinite story. So yeah, what are you expecting is coming?
Well, I think a lot of things. I think for us, getting to a million agent simulation that is alive and unpredictable is our kind of, let's say, intermediate step before AGI. So, you know, them actually having full ongoing lives and getting smarter over time. In terms of disrupting TV, you know, we wanted to show that generative TV is possible. You know, I love what's happening with text to with Runway, but, you know, spending 3 hours to get 3 seconds, I don't think is as cool as spending, you know, if you're going to redo it and sort of try to make it great, spending an hour to get a 22-minute episode. I think, you know, we should be starting to think about how these things all fit together to tell stories, because why else would we be making moving pictures than to tell stories? So combining dialogue with the visuals, with an understanding of narrative structure, with the characters and their ongoing lives, that seems very exciting. And I do think people will go home and they will put themselves in shows, they will add new episodes of shows that they love, and they will also alone be able to be a showrunner, generate entirely original shows. So we're working with three creators on three shows. Or simulations which have attached shows. One is Exit Valley, which is a sort of satire of Silicon Valley. So you'll have Marc Andreessen going into the office, and maybe Dieter Thiel, and, you know, you'll have the whole city and sort of see that. You'll have a detective simulation and a sci-fi spaceship, where it's kind of out on adventures exploring the universe, and each week exciting things happen, and users can then remix, add new episodes, do what they want. There's like a canon, but you can also be in the episodes if you want by uploading your photo and your voice.
Love it. That's wild. Okay. How do you think about that then with kind of the canon of show and shows and the sort of history of the episodes? Part of the charm now with really amazing series is that they do end, and so we go back and watch previous episodes, and maybe there's conversation and community around how you would have done it differently or whether you loved it or those kind of things. So how do you think about that?
Yeah, it's sort of, in a way, it's sort of using AI to get back to how TV shows were before streaming. And I think a lot of people actually kind of miss episodic content and, feel that they're stuck in a grind of these 10-hour movies. I don't know about you, but it's kind of like, God, okay, this is a show. I have to watch every single episode in order and binge it, right? That was kind of the theory. And if you miss a single episode, you're screwed. And I don't know that I like that. I think a lot of shows are much better as repetitive formulas, like the show Friends, Frasier, Star Trek: The Next Generation. There are obviously amazing shows like The Sopranos and like The Wire and Breaking Bad that are more like linear novels, but I think people miss actually being able to settle down and watch something where they don't need to hold in their head 30 hours of previous information. And that is more suited to AI as well. But I just myself, as a consumer, I'm kind of getting tired of needing to invest. If I'm going to invest 1 hour, I need to invest the 9. Otherwise, you kind of don't get any sense of what's going on. I don't know that I enjoy that anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. Fair enough. You were talking before as well about the vision for the million multi-agent simulation and approaching AGI. How far are you through that, if you're happy to share? And it is kind of AGI what we think it's going to be just a case of scaling up the amount of agents for us to realize that? Is there something else going on there to achieve AGI, or is it why it'll be so complex at that stage we'll consider it artificial general intelligence?
I think emergence will definitely come from having that much complexity, but no, I personally don't think there's any linear path to AGI. One of the things that I'm excited about with the simulation is getting player training, getting players involved, so that a wilder, more unpredictable element can be introduced into it. And I think that's really important, that it shouldn't be, let's buy more GPUs and let's scrape more data, and somehow that's going to lead to the creation of the second intelligent species in the world. That almost says that life is just a function of Moore's law, which, from a common sense perspective, is obviously ridiculous. But that is the prevailing view in the valley. I don't agree with that. I think we have to find more jagged and unexpected routes and open up the possibility of wilder and more jagged routes that include how unpredictable people are. So I think people power, crowdsourcing, gamifying, incentivizing the training of AIs explicitly by players, I think that'll introduce some unexpected elements that are more likely to get to AGI than a linear, let's have more compute, or even, you're right, let's just have more agents. That alone is definitely not going to get us to something as profound as life.
Interesting. Okay. And in that full vision of the simulation, which might be a hard thing to for us to kind of talk about now because we're not there yet, but for kind of the average sort of consumer or user, how could they go in? What would it be like for them when that's complete?
Sort of looks like The Sims. Yeah, it looks like The Sims. So, you've got your characters. You might have a private server where you're building out your own simulation of AIs, like, Christoph, who created Truman Show. He's got his little, orb, and he's managing things. Or it might be something that's shared and connected, but with other players and creators. But visually, it's a 3D world that looks like The Sims.
Cool. Okay. You mentioned the Truman Show there. Obviously, there's a realization that at some point he is in a simulation. I assume you don't believe this is anything crazy as an example, but I don't know if you've seen there's a guy talking to NPCs in The Matrix, telling them that they're in a simulation, then realizing and then getting stressed and worried about it. What happens if that happens? And yeah, I'd be interested to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think an iterative step, again, between building a simulation and building AGI is having agents that can take actions outside of the game, up to and including being co-workers. So, you know, they go to sleep, they wake up, they go to the office, they sign on to their Slack, maybe it's their home study, home office, they sign on to the Slack, and they're your coworker. I did used to be excited about the idea of, well, there'll be NPCs across the metaverse, but I think that's actually much less interesting than, you know, they will have the ability to do anything that humans can do on the internet. And that's what's starting to happen with agents and Action AI and companies like Multion and Adept is agents that can take real world actions through the internet. So I think a middle step is, you know, there's the simulation and through their computers in the simulation, they can access our world through the intermediary of the internet. So that isn't related to them being alive. That's just, but it's an interesting middle step that they could have jobs and interact and do things. And maybe, you know, I don't love the social media thing, but maybe they could like share what's going on for them in the simulation, share photos and stuff. But I think it can go much, much bigger than that. You know, anything a human can do on the internet is soon going to be available for an agent to do. And I don't think we're ready for the implications of that.
Interesting. One of which might be a giant digital economy. Does this plug into a bigger picture of crypto and AI's beginning to use crypto, which we have seen? Do you think that's all linked and that'll be part of it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of crypto and the idea of agents having their own wallets and being able to behave, which obviously they can't have their own bank accounts. The experiments that I've done around agents, NPC agents that can take actions outside of video games have required them using my bank account. But yeah, eventually it would be more viable for the agents to have wallets, because banks, because of, you know, your client reasons are not going to be comfortable with agents having bank accounts, whereas wallets are accessible to agents and they don't need to prove, who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. Okay. And, I know we're tight on time. So I wanted to ask you what would you say people aren't paying attention to at the moment? There's so much coverage of what is happening in AI. What are you looking at going, do you know what? Nobody's really thinking about this yet, but it's here or it's coming.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's improved a lot. I think it has been, for the last several years, far too focused on text and image. And I think a lot of that's just, everyone scraped stuff on the internet, and the internet is mostly text and image. But in the last year, it's starting to get into things that I'm very excited about, like video, like 3D, and even more so, action. And I don't know that people don't necessarily talk about action as a modality, the way that they would say text is a modality and pictures is a modality and 3D is a modality. But, you know, I think that's probably the best way I can come up with to describe this bubbling up in the last few months around action AI, AIs that can take actions on the internet as if they are humans. And that's an area that has a huge amount of interest in the Valley over the last few months, and that I think is profoundly different and is a third phase of artificial intelligence. So if the first phase is interpretive, right, where they were trying to train the AI to know that there's a cat in this photo, or it's a dog and a cat, or whatever. Next phase is generative. Can you generate a picture of a cat? Can you generate a summary of this text? Can you reply to me? The third phase is action, and AIs that can take any action that a human can take on the internet. And I think that's profoundly scary and exciting. But I don't think anyone's really, we're all talking about the generative phase still, but in the next few years, I think we'll talk more about the action phase and the implications of that.
Very well said and very interesting for sure. Yeah, thank you so much. Loads of great stuff in there, obviously. Where can we send people to keep up to date with what you're doing?
Just go to thesimulation.co and sign up.
Perfect. Perfect. All right, Edward, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you. Speak soon. Bye. Thanks.